Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 5, looking at verse 7. There's great value in going one verse at a time through this tremendous chapter. But there's also a downside, and that is that we might miss the fact that these statements of Jesus Christ are connected to one another. They are related to one another in important ways. And that's particularly true when we come to verse 7. Verse 7 is based upon what has been said before. And so we're going to start at verse 1 and read all the way to verse 12. But I want you to concentrate on where verse 7 fits in this sermon that Jesus proclaims from the Mount. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, you saw that verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But hearing that verse, we had the previous verse just ringing in our ears. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does that righteousness look like? What does the righteousness that Jesus Christ is talking about look like? We saw it was the character of God. We saw we were filled by the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who proclaims this sermon and is the means by which we're filled. But what does it look like? Well, there are three categories that Jesus unpacks for us in verses 7, 8, and 9. Mercy, being pure, and being peacemakers. That's what righteousness looks like. And then being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's what righteousness looks like too. And so tonight we're looking at something that requires us to back up a little bit and consider where we've been. We started with being poor in spirit, those who recognize that they have nothing to offer. They need to receive from God. And then we begin to mourn. We mourn over sin, sin in us, injustice and sin in the world. We mourn over the effects of sin, and we find that God is the only one who can comfort us. And then we become meek, like the Lord Jesus Christ, that quality that he referred to concerning himself, that term that he used to particularly refer to his own character, meekness. Following Psalm 37, we inherit the earth. The new heavens and the new earth are given to those who follow Jesus Christ in this way. And that building in our life of this knowledge of our emptiness, our mourning over sin, our taking on the character of Jesus Christ creates in us a craving for more, a craving for God and his righteousness to be displayed. And that, you see, is the work that the Holy Spirit does on the inside of us to develop mercy. Mercy begins this group of demonstrations of the fruit of all of the things that Jesus Christ has been proclaiming to us, being poor in spirit, being those who mourn, being the meek, knowing ourselves that we do not earn the kingdom of heaven, but it's given to us as an inheritance through Jesus Christ. All of that serves to help create meekness. And we need to consider what meekness is. what it really is. Because those who hear this sermon, those who are believers in the world, are not living in a monastery, not living separated from everyone on a mountainside, simply reading this sermon. No, we're engaged in the world. We're engaged in the world in society. And this engagement in society has a cost. There's something about the pattern that Jesus is giving us here that directs us to the cross. His cross, but then also our cross as we follow him. What is it about showing mercy that requires cross bearing? As we put it that way, it begins to be clear, doesn't it? We show mercy to those who are in need of it. No, mercy is an attribute of God. He said in Exodus 34, verses 4 to 7 to Moses, that he was going to proclaim his name. Exodus 34, verse 5, he descends in the cloud and he stands with Moses. And the Lord proclaims his name. And this is his name. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. The Lord proclaims his name, and he mentions mercy. He is merciful and gracious. And then he says he's keeping mercy for thousands, and it's defined as forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. The Lord is merciful to sinners. That's what he said during the time of the giving of the law, during the time of Moses, when the people were supposed to reflect his holiness visibly. The Lord is merciful to sinners. You need to know that today. You need to know that this evening, because you're being called upon to be filled with mercy. And you need to begin to see the pattern of this Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus has been saying about being poor in spirit, recognizing that you have nothing to offer, mourning over sin, the meekness of the character of Jesus Christ, rather than the patterns of the world, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and then finally being changed on the inside to being like this merciful God, the one who shows compassion to those who are miserable and helpless. You see, that's why being merciful requires cross-bearing, because you're showing compassion to those who are helpless. They cannot help you. They cannot help themselves. They are in need. And that's our standing before God. And yet, those are precisely the people to whom we will show mercy when we are filled with this mercy from God, when God shows us this mercy. Mercy, it refers to his attitude of forgiveness towards those who offend him. It caused him to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his attitude of compassion towards those who are suffering. We see so many times the Lord Jesus Christ displaying mercy to those who are suffering in the Gospels. That's the quality that we need to take in as we grow in more Christ-likeness. This is a mercy that's grounded in spiritual poverty. It's grounded in mourning. It's grounded in the meekness of Jesus Christ. It's grounded in this hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is how we know that we have received the mercy of God for ourselves. This is how we grow in this fruit of mercy. What is mercy? Is it simply being nice to people? That's what many people think. Simply be nice. Just be nice, would you? It's almost a command. the niceness principle. But mercy is more than that, isn't it? God, speaking of his own being, says he keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's something only God can do. In fullness, God forgives. And that's why he sent his son. There's a reason that Jesus doesn't pronounce this blessing first, because we need to walk through the other four in order to get here. We need to understand the progression of the Sermon on the Mount. We need to be receiving and taking in God's mercy as it is expressed to us in making us poor in spirit, in making us those who mourn, in making us those who are meek, in making us those who have a craving for hunger, a hunger for righteousness. This is the way Jesus puts it in Luke 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. It's the words of Jesus Christ. He's telling you to take up your cross and follow him. Not just following him in terms of obedience, but following him in terms of our interpersonal relationships. Our relationships with people that curse us. People that despitefully use us. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them that which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now in another place, in Matthew, Jesus says, be perfect. But here in Luke, he says, be merciful. Because he's been speaking about mercy. He's been unpacking what mercy looks like for us. He's been helping us to understand what it means to be merciful as one who's guided by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Loving our enemies, doing good to those that hate us, blessing those that curse us, praying for those that despitefully use us, giving even to those who will not thank you. This is what the mercy of God looks like. This is what Jesus Christ is declaring, is the Father's mercy. And we're to be like that. But in Psalm 18, we read that God, with the merciful, shows himself merciful. With an upright man, shows himself upright. With the pure, he shows himself pure. And with the froward, he shows himself froward. So what's happening? Why is it that some are able to grow in mercy? It's because they have received God's mercy. The Apostle Paul found out about it. The Apostle Paul was shown the mercy of God. And as he moves along in writing letters in the New Testament that are given by the means of the Holy Spirit, he never ceases to be amazed at the mercy that he has received. The Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Timothy that he thanks Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul was made a poster child for mercy, a display of God's mercy to him personally, so that people knew that he had changed because God was merciful to him, a sinner. And if the Apostle Paul needed to come to that place where he received mercy in order to display mercy, that's where we need to come to. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about. But see, the Apostle Paul, receiving this mercy, began to reflect this mercy. And so we see that in 2 Timothy 1. As the Apostle Paul says in verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." He became one who reflected this mercy to others. You see, that's the pattern. Jesus Christ is talking about being a merciful person, full of mercy, because you know the mercy of God. Well, you know as well as I do that mercy needs to come from someone else. It's not naturally within us. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ has been made like us in order to become a merciful and faithful high priest. This is what Hebrews 2:17 says. "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Did you know that right now, this evening, before the throne of God in heaven, you have one who is operating on the basis of mercy for you? That speaks volumes in light of what we just read in Revelation 6. Mercy. Merciful, and what is more, faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ, right now in heaven, is giving you the benefit of his mercy. He's merciful and faithful. Why is he a merciful and faithful high priest? It's because he identified with us in every way apart from sin. That means he suffered. That's what the book of Hebrews says in chapter 2. He suffered when he was tempted. When Jesus Christ was tempted, he didn't give in. He suffered instead. You and I give in. Jesus Christ never gave in. Instead, at every point when he was tempted, he suffered. And now, on the basis of that experience, he is pleading his mercy for you before the Father's throne. See, showing mercy involves cross-bearing, and Jesus Christ shows us what mercy looks like. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is a merciful one. We need Jesus because we need mercy ourselves. You need Jesus. You need mercy. But you have received mercy if you've received Jesus Christ. That's why the book of Hebrews says this: "Seeing then that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we may obtain mercy at the throne of grace. Isn't that what Jesus said here? Isn't that what we just heard him say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain mercy. Yeah, down the road in the future. No! They shall obtain mercy because mercy has already been installed at the Father's throne. It's been installed for you. The mercy of Jesus Christ is your hope. That's your confidence. And that's the means by which you are formed into mercy. It's important that we see something about this verse as we close tonight. There is a present tense part of the verse, and there is a future tense part of the verse. And that can be a little confusing when you read it at the first time. It looks like, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It looks like the merciful get a reward because they're so merciful. They obtain mercy on the judgment day. But as we've already seen, Jesus Christ has already unpacked for us the means by which this mercy is formed in us. It's the knowledge of God's mercy. It's the knowledge of God's mercy that's given to us in Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge that Jesus Christ is unpacking for us, being poor in spirit. I have nothing to offer. Mourning. There is something that makes me so sad about this world, about my sin, that I mourn. And there's no place to go but to God for comfort. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, people who are all about getting revenge, they never want to show mercy. But those who are meek, who will inherit the earth, they're willing to show mercy. You see, Jesus Christ is already forming in us the place, the space that's needed in our hearts for his mercy to fill. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does that righteousness look like? It looks like mercy. It looks like purity. It looks like peacemaking. That's the righteousness of God that Jesus is declaring. And lo and behold, where do we see it? Where do we see it in this world? Where do we see mercy? Where do we see purity? Where do we see peacemaking? You know where to look. Seeing then we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Jesus Christ is the one who enables us to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is that grace for? For helping us. God, who declared his name to Moses and said he was merciful and gracious, lo and behold, when Jesus Christ is at the throne room of God, he provides mercy and he helps us by his grace. There is a future aspect to this verse. Those who have tasted the Lord's mercy, those who know the mercy of God provided in Jesus Christ, will know his mercy when Jesus Christ is visibly displayed on the great day of our resurrection together. Jesus Christ will show you levels of mercy that you have not yet begun to even dream about. But you see, the privilege that you have today is to take in this mercy in a way that enables you to offer it to someone else. It doesn't have to be a believer. Someone who needs help. Someone who is in misery. Someone who needs to see Jesus Christ displayed in your act of mercy. if that comes from the throne room of God through Jesus Christ, it will be displayed to you on a much greater level when Jesus Christ comes back. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.